a couple of notices, so please do bear with us as we have some notices. This week for the church coming up is a week of prayer and fasting, and we would love you to think about how you might engage in praying and even fasting. You don't have to fast for the whole week. Maybe you just want to fast for one meal, or maybe for 24 hours, or maybe even 48 hours. Maybe you want to fast from something like coffee or tea, or maybe you want to fast from something like Coronation Street or EastEnders or whatever else grabs your attention on the TV. But we would love you to think of a time every day, if you can, when you can pray. But also, our prayer room has been refurbished and is available. Sam's done an online diary so that you can sign up remotely and book it, or if not, you can phone one of us and we can do it for you. It's really easy to book up, and the URL, the website address that you need, is in the reprinted September leaflet at the back of church. We'll also try and get it on our Facebook page so that you can, in the members area, so that you, if you want to sign up, you can. If you just switch the screen off on ProPresenter, hopefully it will pop up. If you go to the website, you will see St. Augustine's Church praying Friday, 24th of August, 24th. That's a screen print, sorry, yeah. And you don't have to create a login. You can just go straight to the section you want, book in. And what it will do is, when you've booked, how long you want to pray for, it will put you into that slot. And then it will send you an email to confirm that you're booked in. If you want any more information on that and how it works, do see Sam and or Nigel, and they will be able to help you with that. Maybe if we just take a moment of quiet, maybe you could think of a time or times when you will commit to pray this week. And then in addition to that, what I'd love you to pray for during those times of prayer are four things, four main things. Of course, you may have things that you want to pray for yourself. But I'd love us to pray for supernatural breakthrough. I'd love us to pray that we would see miracles, that we would see people being healed and delivered and set free. I'd love us to pray for supernatural encounters where we see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. So I'd love us to pray for a breakthrough in the supernatural and to see miracles and wonders in this church and in this neighborhood. I'd love us to pray for Alpha. Our new Alpha course starts on the 26th of this month, and I'd love you to pray about who God might bring across your path that you could invite to come along. And I'd love you to pray too about whether or not you think you should be involved in helping with Alpha. We need people to cook. We need people to wash up. We need people actually to organize me. And we need people to come and support us in running the course. If you're interested, do come and speak to me or Lois at the end. This week, Matt, our youth worker, started a new youth cafe. They had about seven or eight, I think, young people come along. They had Wii games, and they had food, tuck shop, table tennis, and other stuff going on. And there's a bus that stops right outside the church, and we're hoping that that school bus will be able to engage the youth from that and bring them in to that youth cafe. So pray about the youth and the youth cafe. And then lastly, I'd love us to pray about our finances. God has really blessed us, and I think all the costs for the extension have been met. But actually, in one sense, it's taken our focus away from our normal day-to-day running costs of the church. And we're not in as healthy a position as we could be. And I'd love you to pray for supernatural breakthrough in our finances too. So can I encourage you to think about how you will pray this week? On Sunday the 30th will be our harvest celebrations, and the 10:30 service will be followed with a bring and share lunch. There's no organisation. We just want you to bring a plate of food that you could share, or a pot of food that you could share with a few more. Last time we did it, it worked fantastically, and there was great food. I wish I'd put a picture up, because it was the only time that I've ever seen. It was Ian Daniels. He had curry on his plate, chili, and a Jaffa cake, all on the same plate. So you can choose whatever you want and bring it along and share it. That's on Sunday the 30th. And then a couple of other notices. Some of you will remember Jean Merry. Jean sadly passed away on the 17th of August, actually, but we didn't find out until my return from holiday. And her funeral will be on the 18th of September. If you knew Jean, I'd love to encourage you to attend the funeral, which will be at 2:15 on the 18th at Seven Hills Crematorium, followed by refreshments here in the Lantern Room afterwards. But also there's some other news, which is this morning at 5:41, Matthew and Polly received a son, Joel. Matt texted me to say that the baby had been born, and then he texted me again to say 5 pounds and 1 ounce. Apparently this information is important. Mum and baby are doing fine. So we give thanks for Matt, for Polly, and for baby Joel. Would you like to sit or kneel as we come to a time of confession? May I remind you that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. So we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So before we have our gospel reading, there has been no come together this morning. Well, there was a very small one, and our children are here with us, but they're now going to head out, and they're going to go with Melissa next door. So it'd be great if we just prayed for you, Melissa, and for the kids before they head off next door. Shall we do that? Father, we want to thank you for every child that comes to church here. And Lord, we want to pray now that as they go and meet together, you would bless them and encourage them and help them to learn more about you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, please, would you stand?
Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You can follow this on page 118 of the New Testament in the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had given out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine left." "You must not tell me what to do," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Jesus' mother then told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold about 100 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill these jars with water." They filled them to the brim, and then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast." They took him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tasted it. He did not know where this wine had come from, but of course the servants who had drawn out the water knew. So he called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and after the guests have had plenty to drink, he serves the ordinary wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." Jesus performed this first miracle in Cana in Galilee. There he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So, Father, as we look at this familiar passage, would you teach us afresh? Help us to see what you are saying to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was at Lunch Club on Thursday, and one of the jugs was handed from one of the tables to be refilled with water. And somebody asked me whether or not I was capable of turning that water into something more alcoholic. I think the suggestion was Carlsberg. Of course, it takes quite a lot to turn water into wine. You need some grapes as well as the water and maybe some sugar and a few other things. Something that I'm not skilled at. But this account in John's Gospel, I think, is so well known, isn't it, about the turning of water into wine. In fact, on one of the Alpha videos, people refer to that miracle as one of Jesus' best-known miracles. But at the end of that passage, and I hope you sort of grasp something of this from last week, that as we go through John's Gospel, and we're going to be looking at the 7 signs in John's Gospel, that it says this was the first sign that Jesus did. And of course, signs point to something, maybe a waypoint, a key location, a destination, or maybe a sign is an instruction about doing something or not doing something. While the building work was going on here, there were signs about what you should wear if you entered the site and the things that you shouldn't do. Signs give us warnings. Signs are not the things, but they point us to something else. And I wonder what it is that this sign in John's Gospel is pointing to. Maybe just amongst yourselves, wherever you're sitting, just think about what that sign might be pointing towards. What was this sign that Jesus did of turning water into wine? What does it point towards? Maybe just have it, you can talk. Maybe you've got no idea, in which case you can say, "I haven't got a clue." But what do you think this sign might point towards? Okay, anybody like to shout out some ideas? Mike? Okay, so pointing to Jesus as being divine. Great. That's not in my sermon notes. That's something I need to add then. Anybody else want to be brave? Okay, so they, the servants who were told to take the water to the taster. So there was faith. Points towards faith. Great. There are loads of things I think that this we can see in this this story that point to something greater. And I'd love you not just to take from what I speak about today, but go home and think about what the sign is pointing towards for you. But I want us to think about a few things this morning. And the first thing that I want us to consider is that I think that this sign points to the new covenant, the new kingdom, the kingdom of God that was being inaugurated. In the Old Testament, there are several references that when the Messiah came, when the new kingdom come, when the new covenant was going to be, that there would be this abundance of wine. And I believe that these people would have been looking for the Messiah to come and expectantly expecting signs to say that the new kingdom was on its way. And they would have been tuned in to seeing some of those things. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." And it goes on to say about the richest fare that they will be able to enjoy. And in Joel, it talks about this, "I am sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you." And Amos declares this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills." To me, that speaks of this abundance of wine that would come. And here in this sign, I think it points to the coming of the kingdom, to the new kingdom being inaugurated, when the Messiah would bring the restoration of Israel. Of course, what they're expecting is that the Messiah would come and would send the Romans away and that they would regain their own land. But here what we see is the kingdom of Jesus is being inaugurated, the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom where the wine is flowing. A kingdom where worship would be restored, but not in the temple, but it would be restored in the hearts of those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They were expecting it to be physical, but the kingdom, the new covenant, was going to be different to that. Do you remember Joel talks about when the new kingdom comes? He says, "No longer will the law be written on your arms and on your foreheads." And you know, don't you, that if you see Orthodox Jews, they will have bindings around their forearms with texts written on, parts of the scripture, or they'll wear the phylacteries on their foreheads. And Joel says, "No longer will the law be external, but it will be internal. I will write it on their hearts." And Jeremiah talks about us being belonging to God, not having hearts of stone, but hearts of flesh. And I think that this initial miracle with this abundance of wine points towards the kingdom of God being inaugurated. But one of the other things I think it points towards is the generosity of God. You know, I think sometimes we have this mindset that God is a bit measly and that he's a bit stingy with what he gives out. I was relating earlier this morning that when our children were smaller on a journey, we would often call at a garage and buy a few packs of sweets. If it was left to me, then I'd open the sweets and the children would get one sweet about every 10 miles. But Lois was very different. She would say, "Here you are, here are the sweets, have as many as you want." And I think sometimes we think that God will just dole out for the next 10 miles or the next year or whatever. But in this parable, what we see is a God of huge generosity. They've already been drinking. They've already been partying for several days. They've probably consumed a significant amount of wine already. And perhaps they're getting towards the end of the big party and they're running out. And maybe just a few of our bottles would have seen them through and done. But Jesus tells the servants to fill these stone water jars that were used for ceremonial washing. They were large jars. They contained gallons. The estimate of our standard 75 centiliter bottle is it would have produced somewhere in the region of 750 to 1,100 bottles of wine. God is not stingy. God is not saying, oh, you've already had enough, I don't think you have any more. He turns water into an abundant supply of wine. And not only that, it's the best wine. Chateau Lafite, 1976 BC. And actually, I think sometimes we come from a mindset where we think God holds back on us. But what I see in this parable, what I see in this story, sorry, not parable, what I see in this story is that there's obedience that allows the provision. Obedience brings about the miracle. So Jesus says to the servants, go and fill those stone water jars with water. Why? We've run out of wine. We don't need more water. But they did it. And then he tells them, draw from those stone water jars and take it to the chief taster. You're joking. I'm not going to give him water. We've just given him the worst wine that we've had and we've run out of that. I'm not now going to take him water. But they do it. They're obedient to what Jesus says. In fact, Mary has the insight, doesn't she? And she says to the servants, do what he tells you. And I believe God wants to bless us and pour out the abundance of his grace and goodness on us. He wants to lavish the wine of his kingdom on us. But we need to be obedient and we need to do what he says to do. God longs for you to ask him, to tell him that you've run out of wine. And he longs to provide you with supernatural supply of his grace, of his mercy, of his goodness, of his provision. And that's the third thing that I think we see here being pointed towards. It points towards the supernatural. Now, making wine takes a long time, but this happened in an instant. It was miraculous. Of course, it is possible for us to make wine by taking water and grapes and sugar and whatever else is needed, but the process is long. But here, in this instant, Jesus turns water into amazing wine. It happens supernaturally. And the kingdom of God is not natural, it is supernatural. So Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And again he says in Corinthians, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable, but is by his Spirit, the supernatural Spirit of God, that we inherit the kingdom. And in Hebrews, the writer says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And again, Paul says in Ephesians that our struggle, the battles that we face, are not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. See, God didn't send Jesus to make us good. God sent Jesus to make dead people alive. And that only happens supernaturally. God sent Jesus to make natural people of the flesh become supernatural people in the spirit and to live a supernatural life. God sent Jesus to turn plain old water into amazing wine. And today God wants to take you, wherever you are, and turn you into amazing, tasty, vintage wine. But he'll only do that if you allow him to, by his spirit working in you and transforming you supernaturally. But not only that, one of the amazing things that I see in this story is that it points towards a God who makes himself vulnerable to our requests. That blows my mind away. God has made himself vulnerable to the prayers of his people. God has made himself vulnerable to what you ask him to do. See, Mary saw the situation. She saw that they'd run out of wine. And she says to Jesus, sort it out. And Jesus says, hang on a minute. It's not time yet. My time is not here. I'm not ready to start this stuff. My ministry is not due to start for another week. I can't do this now. Woman, what are you asking me to do? You've really messed up the plans. And she turns to the servants and says, do what he says. And what does Jesus do? He does it. Jesus became vulnerable to the request of his mother. I think it was Wesley, I'm not sure, but I think it was Wesley that says, God has bound himself to do nothing except in answer to our prayer. God has bound himself to do nothing except in answer to our prayer. He has given us access to his throne of grace to ask what's on our hearts so that he can give it to us. God makes himself vulnerable to you asking him for something. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it? Obviously not. Isn't that incredible? Oh. God has decided that your prayer, what you pray and ask him for, can change human history. Can bring people who are going to a lost eternity into the kingdom of God. To bring people who are hurt and crippled and broken into healing. To people whose minds are messed up. To those who are suffering depression, to be made whole. God has bound himself to do nothing except in answer to our prayer. So what responsibility does that give to us to seek his face and to pray? You know, one of the things that I think about coming and spending a week together in prayer and praying corporately as a church and spending time is not so that actually we ask God for what we want, But as we give time to God and encounter him, he changes us. That relationship grows and we begin to understand more of what's on God's heart, and we begin to ask him for the things that are already on his heart. But he's wanting you to ask. He's wanting you to have the courage and say, Lord, please, this is what we would love to see happen. And then I think God's heart leaps for joy and he says, yeah, let's do it together. And as Marge said, I think the other thing that I see in this story is that it points to faith being the means of receiving. Faith is the means of receiving. See, if those servants had just ignored what Jesus said, they would never have enjoyed that amazing, fantastic wine. When did the miracle take place? When did the water turn into wine? It doesn't tell us. Did it turn into wine as they went and got the water and poured it into those huge jars? Or did it occur when they actually took some of the wine, water, wine, out and took it to be tasted? See, both those acts required faith and obedience. And I think this account in John's Gospel points us to having faith to actually step out and do the task before we understand what will happen or how it will happen. That's faith. If you know how it's going to happen, that's knowledge. How will somebody get healed when we pray for them? I don't know. But faith is praying that God's healing would come upon them anyway. And in that step, we receive. I'm sure there are loads of other things within this story that you will see and begin to see point towards who Jesus is, point to the kingdom, point to the supernatural power that is available to us through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. And I hope you will take a fresh look again and see that God is generous to you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to ask and receive because he's made himself vulnerable to your requests. So shall we pray? And shall we ask God by his power to give us far more than we could ever ask or imagine? Father, we thank you for this account of Jesus at a wedding. And we want to thank you for the abundance of blessing that was poured out upon those people in the provision of amazing wine. Lord, would you raise our faith to expect the supernatural, to see the natural turned into supernatural. Would you raise our faith to ask? Help us to realize that you have made yourself vulnerable to our requests. And through that, give us the audacity to ask for more than we can begin to conceive, that we might see the overflow of your blessing in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, and release the supernatural in us today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name. Would you please sit or kneel as we pray?
Heavenly Father, when the water of our lives become wine through the presence of Jesus Christ, then even the worst circumstances that life can offer have a richness and depth that they never had before. So we ask today, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we may witness in our own life and in the life of others the miracle of the wedding in Cana and see transformation from ordinary to the extraordinary. Amen. Dear God, for the sake of the world, at a time when we need prayer more than ever, may our world be prayer conditioned. In our fasting next week, may we hunger for you. May we put down our phones, turn off our TVs and computers, and kneel in prayer. For we know all miracles start with prayer. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Faithful God, thank you that you are always with us. God of comfort, while we may not know the feelings and experiences of those near or far, you know what lies in every heart. We ask that you rest your comforting hand on each of your children. In particular, our hearts still rest with those caught up in the recent knife attacks in our community and across our nation. We pray there will be an end to this gang violence. Amen. God of strength, lift up those who can hardly carry on. We pray for the refugees on the island of Lesbos, Greece, who suffer under horrendous conditions. We pray especially for the children who do not have the strength or will to live any longer, who are attempting suicide, wishing to leave the burdens of earthly life. May your hand of comfort lift them up. Give them your mighty strength. God of presence, be with those in Japan who have experienced a terrible typhoon, especially with those who have lost loved ones and with the injured. May your healing presence and abundant love be made known. And help us to understand that your presence is so necessary in every human life, in typhoons and other natural disasters, in a hospital room or hospice, in broken relationships, and among defeated souls. And God of life, be with those in Syria as battles loom, imperiling more lives. We ask you that you protect all who are in harm's way. Sustain your people as they face the loss of loved ones and destruction of their communities. End the suffering, and may the blessings in life prevail as talks of rebuilding begin. Dear Lord, may your words, "Do not fear, I will help you," continually ring as an anthem of hope in our lives. And we pray and focus on growth in our church. Almighty God, in your mercy, bless our Vicar Trevor and our bishops Martin and Mike. Guide these shepherds you have chosen to lead us. Give them the grace of your Spirit so that they may bring us to you in the footsteps of Jesus our Lord. And may your church be built up and your name glorified. And we end our prayers lifting our youth pastor Matt and his wife Polly and newborn baby to you. We thank you for the many blessings they bring to our church and ask you to grant us them a safe and happy life. Stay close to them today and always, dear Lord. Accept our prayers we offer for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If you're able, please, would you stand? Therefore, through the miracle of what Jesus has done for us, through faith, we are justified, and we have peace with God, who has given us access to his grace in which we now stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. So let us share with one another a sign of his peace. As we come to communion, if you are visiting us today and you normally receive communion in your own church, you're welcome to receive communion here. There will be two stations, one at the communion rail and one here near the pulpit. We have non-alcoholic wine and there are gluten-free wafers available at the communion rail. Let's just take a moment to recognise God's presence with us. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son. Yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood, shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. This is our story. Hosanna in the highest. Send your Spirit on us now. And by these gifts, may we feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let's just take a few moments. I believe today that God wants to transform somebody's life of water into glorious, abundant, the best tasting wine ever. I believe today that God wants to do something supernatural and bring healing and wholeness. I believe today that somebody here, God has so much more than you can ask or imagine, and he wants to bless you abundantly. So the prayer ministry team are going to come out now. The prayer ministry team are coming out now. And we will pray that God's Spirit will come and begin that transformation. And if that's you, if you sense God has spoken to you today that he wants to do something in your life, he wants to bring you healing and wholeness, then make your way forward as we pray. And afterwards, the people will be here to pray with you and for you. So, Father, we want to thank you today for your abundant blessings on us, for your grace and for your love. 10,000 reasons, Lord, we should bless your name for all that you have done for us. And now we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come and transform the poverty of our nature into the richness of your grace and glory. Come Holy Spirit. Break the power of sin and darkness and release your glorious light, your glorious new wine into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Sense today God is saying, with obedience, with that stepping out, with that placing water into the jars, as it were, by stepping out, you will see the miracle that you long for. So Lord, come, send your Spirit to fill us, to empower us, and then send us out in the power of your Spirit, we pray, to live and to work to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. Perhaps I ought to do the blessing first. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.